Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Mastering Maintenance Worksheet Call. Today we are talking about avoiding the easing up trap. So if you are here this morning for the maintenance call, you are in the right place. Let me just get set up here for a minute. I see a lot of you guys coming in as well. That's awesome. And let me just change my name. I am Coach Yesenia. And I have been a coach at No BS for coming up on 2 years. I can't even believe it. Almost 2 years this fall. And I was a No BS woman before that. I'm very excited for this call. I'm just so excited to talk about the shit that might bubble up to the surface once we hit maintenance, right? Like, it's so funny. Like, we deal with all this, you know, old shitty thinking when we're in weight loss, and then we get to maintenance and sometimes some new shit wants to bubble up to the surface. But the amazing thing is that you are in the perfect place for like weight loss and maintenance, because we give you so many tools so that you can work through the stuff that comes up when we get to maintenance. So I'm excited to talk about this today. Make sure your chat is set to everyone. And I am going to share the maintenance course homepage in the chat, just in case you're wondering what lesson we're talking about today. And Shannon is in the chat. And if you have any questions, if you need a link to anything, if you're like, what worksheet is it? She will be able to assist you in the chat. You can also ask questions in the Q&A. If you have any questions about what we're talking about today, she's got our backs in the chat and in the Q&A. So, all right. Okay. All right. And then before we jump into the call, I want to share a little bit about me. A lot of you guys have probably seen me around for a while now. It's not my first rodeo, right? Not my first call, but I lost my weight and did No BS and all of this, like with little kids at home. At the time I was married, had little kids. I felt like I just never got to spend time on me. I just felt like, you know, there was just so much to do. I had to take care of everybody else. And food was the friend that helped me get through all of that. And then since then, like while I was working on my weight loss, I decided to leave my marriage and I became a single mom. That was very hard. But I got through it thanks to like some really good coaching from Corinne, the support of the community. And I decided to become a coach. I became a single mom and I was like, I want to be a coach. Like, this community has helped me so much. I want to do that for other women too. And so that it's been an amazing ride, an amazing journey. But I'm a single mom and my kids they're a little bit older now, but they're still relatively young. I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I have figured out how to do this, you know, do it like being a single mom and taking care of them, but also like learning to take care of me. Like, I learned that I don't have to choose one or the other. And I know for a lot of us, like, we have something like that going on, whether it's kids or teenagers or maybe a parent or someone that we take care of, or maybe we have like a really demanding job. It can feel really challenging to do that and like figure out how to take care of ourselves, but it is possible. And I learned to do it little by little over time. And now what I do most of the time here at No BS, I do calls like this sometimes where I get to see all of you and coach all of you. But I actually spend the majority of my days working one-on-one with private clients here in No BS. And so that's definitely my favorite part of my job, is working with my private clients, helping them, again, learn how to like take care of themselves, work on their body image, their confidence, help them master their four basics, no matter what life throws at them, right? Whether it's a wedding or, you know, I got sick or the kids got sick or work is really hard. I love helping them work through all of that. So that is what I do. And that is something that is always available to you as well if you decide that you want that one-on-one support with a coach. Okay, so today we are talking about mastering maintenance, avoiding the easing up trap. And so we are going to be doing one of the worksheets today, but by the end of the call, the goal is that you understand that there are three parts to the easing up trap that Corinne talks about. There's imposter syndrome, there's the hard talk, and then there's the regain cycle. And so we're going to kind of like walk through those, and I'm going to give you some tips on those. And like I said, what's amazing is that like you're losing weight here inside of No BS. You're doing it in a very simple way. And as you get to maintenance, you're going to have the tools for that as well. So that if anything comes up for you, if there's anything, any thinking that comes up, any imposter syndrome, any like regains, you have the tools to figure that out as well. And then we will do a little bit of coaching at the end. So that is what we're doing today. I also want to, show you the maintenance course homepage for anybody who is new to the maintenance course. And then I also want to remind you, if you are a newbie, if you are relatively new to No BS and you're still working on your weight loss, you're working on your weight loss, still, you want to take the No BS weight loss course. So I'm going to show you that really quickly as well. So let me go ahead and share my screen. Get your water ready, get your worksheet ready, make sure you've got that with you. And I'm going to take just a couple of minutes to show you, what we're talking about today, the mastering maintenance course and the lesson that we're doing and where you can find the workbook and all of that. So let me go ahead and do that really quick. Okay. So it's really important that you know that like this website right here, this is the core of your membership. Like I know a lot of us, like we hang out on Facebook a lot and Facebook is great. The community's there, but this website here, nobswomen.com, this is the core of your membership. And this is where you can always find everything. So right now I'm on the Mastering Maintenance course. You can go to that by clicking on the menu here. If you're like on your phone or your iPad, you're going to see three white lines. And so you're going to tap on that and then you'll see this full menu. And it's here under self-paced workshops. We have so many courses and workshops for you. You can always be listening to something, but this is the mastering maintenance homepage. The worksheet that we're doing today is here on the module 2 program guide. Here's the planner. There's transcripts here if you'd rather do the transcripts and read and highlight. And here are the module 1 lessons, module 1 worksheet calls, module 2 lessons. And you can see they're only a few minutes long. I love listening in the car as I'm dropping off the kids or when I'm walking in the morning or the evening. I love just listening, keeping Corinne in my ear. Keeping Corinne in my ear helped me so much when I was going through everything. And I felt like I had so much shitty thinking. And I was like I somehow at that time was like, I kind of understood. I was like, I need, like, if I have all this shitty thinking going on, I need to like not have that be the only thing that's in my head. I need to keep Corinne's voice in my head too. And that helped me a lot. So here's the lesson that avoiding the easing up trap. And the worksheet is over here, module 2 program guide. And then if you're new to No BS, or you haven't done this yet, make sure that you do the No BS weight loss course. So it's over here on the menu, No BS weight loss course. If it's been a while, if you're new to No BS, you want to make sure that you complete that course first. That course is the foundation for everything that we learn and do here inside of No BS. Okay. Who's ready to dive in? Let's go ahead and pull up our worksheet. And let me show you the worksheet really quick. I forgot to show you that just now. Let me show you the worksheet. But go ahead and pull it out. pull out your worksheet. We are doing, let me show you. I have it right over here. So it's page 11. Well, yeah, page 11. Page 11 in the workbook. And it says lesson 9 worksheet, uncovering hard to talk about habits and maintenance. That is a worksheet that we're going to be doing today. So make sure you've got that pulled up. So there's a few different questions here. It's 2 pages. So we're going to do these 2 pages today. That's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to do that for the next 20 minutes. So I'm going to set a timer. We're going to go through the worksheet together. And I think how I want to do this one is I'm going to give you time to like write and answer the questions. But what I also want us to do is I want us to draw from the collective wisdom that we've got here. We've got, just between everybody here, we've got over 100 people on this call. There is so much wisdom here. I don't know if you know that. Like, you have inner wisdom. We've got collective wisdom here. Like, I'm the coach here, and I've done this for a little while, obviously, but I'm not the only one who has experience and knowledge and wisdom here about weight loss and about maintenance. Like, you guys have a lot of inner wisdom. So I want us to share that today. So pull out your worksheet, and I'll tell you what question we're going to be working on first. And what I want us to do is I want us to share some of our responses in the chat. So if you have a really good response, share it in the chat. If you are really struggling with a question, let us know in the chat. We've all been there. And we can like share ideas and really do this worksheet together and draw from the collective wisdom and like get a lot more out of the worksheet that way. So Shannon is sharing that link to the worksheet in the chat. If you don't have that, if you don't have it printed out, or like, just grab a piece of paper and do it there. So, okay. So let's go ahead and begin. Okay. Page 11. We're going to start with that first page. So this will take us a couple minutes. So it says, here are the 9 habits I'm choosing to track in maintenance this month. So let's do that one first. So take a minute or two to come up with the 9 habits that you would track in maintenance. What are the 9 habits that you think like, all right, if I track this, this is the data that I would need. These are the habits that I would do that would, as a natural result, like I'd just naturally be in maintenance from doing these things. And a lot of this is going to be like just continuing things. Like, I'm just going to continue doing these 9 things. I'm going to be doing these 9 things. And when I do those consistently, I stay in maintenance. So let's start with that. And if you want to share your response in the chat, again, let's draw on that collective wisdom. So I'll set a timer for a couple of minutes and we'll work on this for a couple of minutes. And you can just, as you're ready, share your response in the chat. If you need any help with this question, let us know in the chat. Tracy says, if I'm not in maintenance yet, will this call confuse me or throw me off? Good question. So if you're here and maybe you're getting close to maintenance, or you're just curious about maintenance, I don't think it's going to hurt you to do this worksheet. So write down what you think the answer is, right? Like, you can think of it as like, I'm already getting my brain ready to enter maintenance. So let me go ahead and answer some of these questions and see what those answers would be. And you'd be surprised. Maybe they're very similar to what you're doing in weight loss. That's probably what it is, right? We're not doing anything wildly different in maintenance all of a sudden. But maybe you're thinking about like, oh yeah, these are like my keystone habits that I'm doing now in weight loss that are going to help me stay in maintenance as well. So think about like, what would you be tracking when you're in maintenance? And maybe there's a couple things, maybe you're even thinking of like a couple of level ups that you'd be doing in maintenance. You could think about that as well. Okay. So like Dr. Heather Presley, she said, close the kitchen after dinner. Add more veggies and fruit. The only thing I would say there, Heather, is like add more veggies and fruit is a great idea, but make sure it's specific. Like, how would you know that you could, that you, you know, you can check that off. You did it. Is it add more veggies and fruit at one meal a day, at least? Is it 3 times a week? Is it have a veggie at dinner? Like, how would you know? Or what's your goal around that? Joan says, eat at the table, eat one plate only, leave a bite. Yeah, there's some really great ideas here. She also has 5K steps per day. So maybe you have a movement goal. You don't have to, but like if movement, you like doing your movement and that's important to you, maybe you have a movement goal in there that helps you. Yeah, journal daily, drink my water every day. Again, I would just say how many ounces so that you can track it. Because remember, you're wanting to track these. Awesome. 2 fruits and 2 veggies a day. Great. Continue to plan. Yeah. So again, so is that like continue to plan daily? Yeah, keep carry your water everywhere. That's me too. Like I always have water with me. Put fork down between bites. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, great. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to the other page. This one was relatively straightforward. And borrow from the chat if you need to. Maybe it gives you some good ideas. Okay. So the second page, so it says at the top, which habits feel the easiest to me? What thoughts do I tend to have about them that make them easy? So here's where the interesting stuff comes up, because we have our 9 things that we're going to track. But like I said, sometimes in maintenance, we get to maintenance and like all of a sudden some new shitty thinking wants to bubble up to the surface. So these questions are a really good way to see like, what are we like, are our thoughts shifting all of a sudden because we're in maintenance now? Or, you know, we thought about it a certain way in weight loss. And now that we're in maintenance, is our habit brain wanting to tell us something different about these habits? So we're starting with what habits feel the easiest to me? So answer on your worksheet and let us know in the chat as well. Which habits feel easiest? What thoughts do I tend to have about them that make them feel easy? Okay, so Dr. Heather Presley says, water, that feels easy. I know I can do it. I've done it. See, like how she's thinking about her water is what helps it feel easy. I know I can do it. Movement, awesome. Donna, that's interesting. She says, okay, dang, only one feels easy, the self-development. Or quilting 30 minutes a day because I enjoy that. Oh, that's interesting. So maybe it feels easy because you enjoy doing it, but for some of these other ones, that's worth questioning. Like, do I really not enjoy some of these other ones, or do I enjoy what I get out of them? Maybe that could help. Like, maybe it's not my favorite thing to do, but maybe I really enjoy the result that I get from it. Walking daily. It feels easy because it feels good. Yeah, I love walking too. It's my favorite thing. That would be an easy one for me too. Like, I love doing it. I love getting fresh air. I feel good during and after. I like having strong legs. Like, all that thinking is helping it feel easy. Water feels automatic. Okay. Yeah, this is great. Okay, let's move on to the next question. Which habits feel harder? What thoughts do I tend to have about them that make them feel hard? So Julie says, stopping at enough. Yeah, this is someone we'll be working on, even into maintenance. So I would think about, like, if stopping at enough came up for you. Like, I'm wondering if, like, one thing could be, like, maybe it's not specific enough on your 9 habits over here, like that first page that we did. Like, what if you made it a little bit more specific? Like, what do you do to support yourself so that you can stop at enough? Like, I like to use a smaller plate, or I pause as soon as I think I've had enough and I give myself a minute to see if I need more, right? Like a pause, like a 1 minute pause at the first thought of enough, or pausing halfway through, or I don't go back for seconds. Okay, planning for and allowing urges. I have never been consistently good at this, so I don't trust that I can do it now. What does that mean? Like, I don't feel like I'm consistently good at this. Like, what if you question that you have to be good at it? What if you just trust that you're always working on it? Like, I'm always working on this one. I'm getting better at it. Dr. Heather Presley says, how can I make closing the kitchen easy? Well, tell me why it wouldn't be easy to just close the kitchen. Journaling, thoughts of postponing until tomorrow. Yeah, for some of these, like, so what I'm seeing here is, like, some of these, like, maybe we're not going to feel like doing it in the moment. That's normal. Like, when was the last time you, like, really, like, just felt like brushing your teeth and flossing? Like, you were just so excited to do it. You've been looking forward to it all day. Not me. I'm like, what? I just want to get into bed. That's the last thing I want to do. But I do it anyway. I just expect that I'm not going to feel like it. But again, like, maybe I love what I get out of it. Or maybe I see it as a way that, like, a small but significant way I take care of myself. Now, I love what Coach Shannon is saying to Vivian about urges. Urges are normal. They most likely will never go away. So maybe like, it feels hard because you're expecting that like one day you're supposed to be good at them all the time, or that you're just not going to get urges anymore. But maybe what could make it feel easy or easier is that like, yeah, I'm getting better at handling urges. I'm not supposed to just perfectly sit with an urge every single time, but I know how to, I know how to get better at sitting with urges. I know how to handle it if I say yes to an urge and I eat. Like, I know what to do then. I know how to learn from it. Like, I'm willing to work on this for as long as it takes. Like, I did that with nighttime eating. I think I've talked about that a little bit here on my calls. Like, I was such a nighttime eater. Like, again, like the during the day, it felt hard between like taking care of the house and the kids and doing this and doing that and taking the kids everywhere. And like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired and I have to cook. And it just felt like finally getting to have time to myself at night and getting to eat was like what got me through the day. And because I was willing to work on that for probably 2 years, like I am now in a place where I'm like, okay, I feel like I've mastered nighttime eating. Does that mean I never have a nighttime eat? No. It just means like probably like 95% of the time, it's not a problem for me anymore. And if I see it come back a little bit, again, I have the tools now and the experience to like work on it again. And then it gets better. And I was willing to work on it in 20 different ways. Like I didn't just do one thing. I was willing to work on it for a long time in 20 different ways with my thinking, with my environment, with so many things. Yeah. Next month, we have a new Urges 2.0 course coming out. So it's like, I have the support and the resources to get better at this. I'm willing to not think about it in a hard way. Yeah, I'm willing to work on it as long as it takes, knowing that we're never going to get to perfection. It's so funny. I hear my clients say this all the time. And they'll say like, well, I wasn't perfect, but like, guys, perfection doesn't exist. So it's always like kind of, it's a little funny to me when someone says that. It's like, well, it wasn't perfect, but like, well, we're never going to get to perfect. It's okay. It's okay that you weren't perfect. You can achieve a lot not being perfect. Okay, let's go to the next one. How can I normalize and neutralize the hard thoughts? We've been doing that a little bit already. So what's going to help a lot is just, again, reminding yourself like, it's normal for this to feel hard sometimes. It's normal for me to not feel like doing this sometimes. I'm so much more informed now. I love that. 80-20 is amazing. Yes. So how can I normalize and neutralize the hard thoughts? Share some examples in the chat of how you're normalizing or neutralizing some of those hard thoughts. And if you're not sure, take your best guess and let us help you in the chat. And maybe something like, if I succeed or I fail, like I've got my back, right? Like that's a good one for like urges or closing the kitchen or nighttime eats or eating after dinner. Like whether I feel like I've succeeded or failed, like I've got my back. I know how to reach out for support. I know that I can do a discovery worksheet. I know that I can try again. I can be curious. Love that, Julie. You know what I've noticed now? Like I said, I've been a coach for 2 years now. So not only, and then I was an OBS woman before that, like for probably like 18 months or something. So I've done this work on myself for a while. I've never stopped doing this work. And then I've also helped dozens of clients at this point. And I was telling my accountability partners this. So a couple of the other coaches are my APs. I love it. And I was telling them, I was like, I'm noticing that, like, I stepped on the scale and I saw a gain and there just wasn't a lot of trauma about it. Like, I think after 2 years plus of working on this, my brain was just like, okay, that's okay. Let's keep going. I was like, oh, so it's like, because I've been willing to like keep working on this, like, again, like my brain is coming on board and not offering up as much dramatic thinking. Does the dramatic thinking still come up sometimes? Of course, we're human. But it's kind of nice to see, like, when you're willing to work on something, like you get to see those little shifts. Yeah. Yeah. Disappointment doesn't equal guilt or shame. Exactly. It's normal to be afraid. I won't stay on plan. Yeah, with like staying on plan, saying like, okay, well, it's something I can always look at and dig into and see what's happening and work on it. Versus thinking like, oh, this is happening to me. Like I'm out of control, like making it mean all this bullshit. Just be like, all right, well, it's if I notice something is happening, I can always sit down and look at it and figure it out, figure out what's going on and reach out for help with it. Okay, the next question. What's the next best thought I can think to make these habits feel worthwhile in my maintenance journey? And the tip there is to like borrow from some of the habits that feel easy, borrow from some of that thinking. Like we don't have to reinvent the wheel. One of my favorite things to do is to either for myself or my clients, like if something's already working over here, let's borrow from that and bring it over there. So look at some of your thoughts for those habits that felt easy and see if you can like borrow some of those for those habits that feel hard. Like if I were willing to think about it this way, would it feel easy then? Even if I have to practice saying it 100 times before it started to feel true. Like I know for some of you, the water, you said, oh, it's just not automatic. I just do it. It's so easy. What if you started saying that about closing the kitchen? Or what if you started saying that about stopping at enough at dinner or not going back for seconds at dinner? I like going to bed not full. Yeah. I like waking up proud. Feels good to sit with an urge or feels good to allow an urge. Yeah, like I like that, Vivian. Just like I do after I go for a run. Yeah, exactly. And what's great about allowing an urge is it takes 2 minutes. And I'm guessing you run for more than 2 minutes. I'm guessing you run for quite a bit longer and then you get to feel good. And it's like, well, with the urge, I can just sit with it for 2-3 minutes and then I just get to feel proud. It's a lot faster. An hour. Oh my gosh. You run for an hour. It was so funny. I remember when we went to camp and Christy was saying like, Coach Christy was like, hey, who wants to go work out with me? You know, I'm going to run 19 miles. I was like, did you say run 19 miles? I did a double take. I was like, you're doing what now? Like, I'll be over here walking. Yeah. Coach Christie's a badass. I don't know if y'all know that. I went to the gym that morning and she was just like killing it in there. Okay, so next best thoughts. Jot down your next best thoughts. Now we're going to go to, here's why I'm ready to break up with the hard talk around my habits. Give me some really good, juicy reasons. Sometimes we don't do this enough on the worksheets or like even on the planning and the assessments. We kind of just go through the motions, or we come up with like, it's like a good answer. You know, it's okay. It's not like, it's a good response. But I'm talking about like, come up with a response that like fires you up. It's a juicy answer. It's like, it really just really taps on your whys and helps you like really feel like committed or determined or fired up. So I challenge you, come up with like three like really juicy, fired up responses for why you're ready to break up with the hard talk around the habits. Hard talk is normal. Hard talk is going to come up sometimes, whether you're in weight loss or maintenance, or you've been in maintenance for 5 years, your brain is just going to have something to say. And it's going to be like, well, I know you've run for like the past 5 years and you know, you do it all, but I think we should just skip today. Or like, I know we just don't go for seconds, but like, this is really good. We should like go get some. Like, it's just going to do that sometimes. It's normal. But how are we gonna combat the hard talk? Why are you ready to break up with the hard talk? Share your juicy responses in the chat. I deserve to be gentle with myself if I want to last 100 years. Ooh, I love that. It hurts and I'm damn tired of hurting myself. Probably the one for me, and it's like, I feel like at some point, like, right, like I was just talking about this with a client this morning. Like, we start our four basics and we start some of these habits for weight loss, right? It's a very specific goal in mind. Like, we're doing it for weight loss. But I feel like at some point for a lot of us, it becomes about more than just weight loss. I'm like, when I plan in the morning, when I go on my walk, when I go lift some weights at the gym, when I left some guacamole last night, I go and get guacamole and a margarita most Friday nights as like my date with myself. And like, it's like my favorite me time of the week. I left some of that behind. I left some of that behind. So I was just like, it's not just about weight loss anymore. I'm like, this, I love taking care of me in this way. This is like the best way to take care of myself. And it feels so good. I feel energized in the morning. I feel like I'm putting myself first and like taking care of my kids and showing up as a coach. Like, and it's because like, see how that's juicy? Like it's, you can tell the way I'm saying it, like it fires me up to talk about it that way. Like, why would I ever give this up? It does so much for me. It does so much for me. Why would I ever give it up? Like, this is what kind of person I am. Like, we talk about the easing up trap. I'm like, if you have done some of this work, like, it's like, why would you want to ease up on it? So if it feels like it's something you need to ease up on, first of all, like really question it. Like sometimes our brain will tell us something and it feels very true. And then we look at it and it's a flimsy thought. Like, wait a minute. Like, I want to keep doing this. I don't actually want to stop. I don't actually want to overeat. I don't actually want to stop planning. So really question if it's true that you want to ease up. And then just again, like, again, why would I want to ease up if just see, like, have I experienced that shift? How do I really look at these habits? Those 9 habits that you wrote on the first page. How do I, like, do I not see those as like the best things that I do for me? Do I not, am I not like, I know some of them are like a little hard sometimes, or we don't feel like doing them, but overall, am I like, oh my gosh, yes, I love doing these things for myself. I love the four basics. You couldn't pry them from my cold, dead hands. You couldn't pry this planner from my cold, dead hands. Like, I love doing this. Like, why is it not feeling like it creates ease for me already? I think that's really worth looking at as you close in on maintenance or you get to maintenance. Do I feel like these things that I am doing are allowing me to have ease in my life? If not, it's worth kind of seeing, am I really planning for some of these foods that I want? Or have I not been making doable plans? Am I doing this movement because I think that's what you should do? And I'm kind of doing it for weight loss, but when I look at it, I don't really want to be doing it, right? Like if I were doing running, like I'm not going to go make myself run and be like, well, aren't you supposed, I should run, right? Like, no, I don't want to run. I'm going to walk and I'm going to lift weights. That's what I really want to be doing. So it's worth looking at that. Like, am I doing anything that's not actually doable, that I don't actually want to do, that I don't actually see myself really doing and enjoying for the rest of my life? So it's worth looking at the things that you're planning, the movement that you're doing. Just take another look at that. But the goal is that we enter maintenance and again, why would I ease up? These things that I do give me so much bang for my buck. They give me so much back. Joan says, I watched your original coaching call with Corinne when you were a newbie. What an incredible transformation. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes I look back at that video. I still watch it from time to time. And it's just, that was a hard time in my life, but I'm so grateful because it brought me here. Okay. And I think that's the last question. So let's go ahead, finish up your worksheet. If you have any last questions or need any help with any of the questions on the worksheet, let us know in the chat. We've got Shannon in the chat. I've got an eye on the chat. Let us know if there was anything that you still needed help with, especially for addressing any of those habits that felt hard. Okay. So now what we're going to do, we have some time for coaching. So I want us to coach on anything around easing up, anything around the hard talk, anything around the imposter syndrome, the regain cycle, right? Those are the three main things that Corinne talked about. So for the imposter syndrome, I'm going to go through each one and kind of just share, if this came up for me, this is what I would look at, or this is, how I would reach out for support. Is there's just something here to look at. So for if you're struggling with imposter syndrome, there's some thoughts to look at there around how you see yourself, your identity. For example, seeing yourself as I'm always someone who always has struggled with her weight her whole life. There's something there to look at. So if you're noticing imposter syndrome, there's something there to look at around you and how you see your identity. Or even what others think about you, others are always going to see me in this way. The hard talk, if you're noticing the hard talk, again, this worksheet that we just did, I would keep going through it. It's helping you identify and rewrite and practice some new thinking. So if you notice that the hard talk comes up, this worksheet that we just did is a really good one to help you identify what's having it feel hard and how can I work on that? And then the regain cycle, we've got Urges 2.0 coming up. So that'll be a great course. And, but the regain cycle, that's where you want to be making sure that you're planning and assessing and things like that. You want to for addressing a regain cycle, you just want to look at your data, right? You want to, so that you can course correct, here's what's happening. Here's where I started overeating again, or here's where I started grab assing again. If you do your planning and assessment, you can look back and see, you can identify why the regain happened. And then from there, you can kind of see why was I doing that? Okay. So sleep, anyone have good luck reframing that one, why it's important and how to get more of it in a busy life. You guys let us know in the chat, does anyone have any easy thoughts or any good ideas for reframing sleep? How do you guys think of sleep? Let's Heather says, regain comes when I start eating old comfort foods. So it's not just when you just start eating it. It's you're overeating it, right? So that's good to just kind of really clarify to your brain. It's not that it's the food. It's just like, for some reason, I overeat the food sometimes. And so now you know like what to look at there. I feel so good when I wake up having slept enough. How I think about it with sleep, and I was such a night owl for such a long time. But I feel like I've now kind of come over more to like, okay, I'm like, I've become more of a morning person more than ever. And I go to bed early. It's like, I used to have so much drama around it. But how I think about it now is like, oh my gosh, getting into bed at the end of the day is my favorite part of the day. Like, I love my mornings. Like, that's another thing. It's like, I love my morning time to myself. I love getting up a little bit earlier and having that time to myself, seeing the sun, you know, maybe like it just came up and I'm enjoying my coffee. But again, I love getting into bed at the end of a long day. Like, just getting into bed is my favorite thing. Changing into my pajamas is my favorite thing. Yes, my book. Oh my gosh. Yes. I love to read in bed. Sometimes when the sleep feels hard, it's like, well, I don't want to go to bed. This is the only time I get. And I'm like, oh, well, now I get that time in bed. Like, I still read. I read a little bit, or maybe I listen to something, and it's just so lush. Okay. So go ahead and raise your hand. Does anybody want any coaching on what we talked about today? The easing up trap around maintenance, the imposter syndrome, the hard talk, the regain cycle. Go ahead and raise your hand if you want some coaching, and we'll finish off the call with some coaching. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and pull you up. I don't want to mispronounce your name, so maybe you can tell me in a minute how to say your name, but I'm going to go ahead and bring you up. Hi.
I think I have everything turned on.
Yeah, I can see you. I can hear you. But tell me how to pronounce your name. I didn't want to mispronounce it.
That's fine. Mame.
Mame. Okay.
Yep. Like the musical.
Like it. Okay. What do you want to coach on? What's coming up for you around maintenance?
So I just want to tell you and your team how much I appreciate this course existing, basically. That's the first thing. I hit my maintenance range. It was almost a year ago, and I had a maintenance range, and you know, I was there. And then over the subsequent 6 months, like about 10 extra pounds slowly creeped on. And I'm usually a daily weigher. I don't have any drama about the scale because I'm a data person in my job. But I realized as I was like, okay, what's going on with me? Yada, yada, yada. I was experimenting with some foods that, you know, to see how I was reacting to them. But I also realized as Corinne and other people were talking about it before the course was released, it was my mindset. Like I hadn't quite shifted my mindset to maintenance. So this particular thing is resonating with me because I do feel like I just eased up. I didn't stop my habits, except...
What did you ease up on?
Well, what I eased up on was just really paying attention to stopping at enough. And obviously, I never did it perfectly. I don't know anyone who does. But,
right.
Yeah, but I got in the habit over the winter. I remember looking at my data and thinking, oh, I'm like eating past enough at every meal.
Yeah.
Like,
do you know why
like,
you were easing up on paying attention to enough?
Well, I think I do. At the same, so two things happened in the winter. I live in Minnesota. It's very cold mm-hmm. and snowy here. So I have to always, I need to change up my exercise routine. So, because I can't do outside things as easily in the winter. And I changed up my exercise routine and I was like, wow, I really feel like this change in my exercise routine is ramping up my appetite. So I feel like that was contributing to like, I was wanting to eat more. And then the other thing that I've been working
on. There's a little justification there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You really feel like, well, do I actually need to eat more?
Exactly. Right. You know, I felt different and I responded to the difference by eating a little more and then like, oh, it's only 2 pounds. Oh, it's only a pound. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Without and then, really like checking the thought, like, well, let me really look at that thought.
Yeah.
Kind of eat more.
Right. And then the other thing at the same time, I've been working on this really hard now for about 6 mm-hmm. months is that I realized for myself personally, I need to make daily work plans so that I stay focused and I'm on task and I don't feel overwhelmed. These are so like, I love daily food planning. I have done mm-hmm. it consistently, I think for 3 years now. I love it. I can't imagine ever stopping. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to get that much in love and that consistent with daily work plans. And I keep on trying to ease it back and make it easier. But as I see, these are just thoughts, but as I like took my attention away from eating to enough and put it on to exercise change and work stuff, it's like I didn't give it enough.
Oh, I'm doing these things over here. Like,
yeah. And so I've heard other people kind of get coached on similar things. It's like, I want to be able to balance.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, give me like three really juicy reasons why you would never want to stop paying attention to enough. Like why three juicy reasons why we always want to be doing that. We want to like, just be aware and pay attention to if we've had enough or not.
Well, I absolutely believe that awareness is the key to keeping my weight off. Like, I don't have like a doubt in my mind about that. Sometimes I act like I don't remember that, but I don't have a doubt in my mind about it. Like, I'm totally convinced. So when I say that to myself, oh, no, this, I know this is what I need to do. And I want to do this because I love mm-hmm. the results. And I also love being awake to what the heck's going on in my life. So that's one reason. The second reason is that I really noticed, so I really learned from this winter because I was eating past enough so often. I hate the way it makes my digestion feel. My digestion was so upset. Like every day I was taking like anti-gas tablets because it's so uncomfortable.
So maybe like good digestion is important. It's one of those things. Digestion is one of those things that like when it's good, like we don't want to notice it, right? Okay. But when it's bad, like, that's no fun at all. And
I'm no longer having digestion issues. So I've turned it around enough for that. So my belief that awareness is key, good digestion, which I love having good digestion because I just mm-hmm. get cranky as all heck between it messing with my sleep and then messing with my elimination cycle, let's say. Mm-hmm. What's the third reason though? Well, I hate, I don't like wasting food. Like I like feeling like, I'm buying the right amount of food for me and my family. And
that feels good to you.
Yeah. I mean, that feels good to me
too.
It's like not overbuy to like, not to not, I don't know exactly how to put it into words, but I feel really good when I'm like managing the flow of food as energy in my life, because I grew up with people who, you know, lived through the Depression, and I had to work really hard on like, you know, it's okay to throw food away. It's okay to quote unquote waste food. But I also really like it when, if I'm paying attention, then way less stuff is getting thrown away because I'm not overbuying.
You're not like over focusing
on food. I guess. So somehow the not focusing too much on food kind of links in with the stopping at enough. It's like, I like food. It's important. I'm Italian. Food's very important in my family, but I don't want it to be, you know, I don't want my life to be all about food, I guess I'm trying to say. And so eating by
enough. And how does that tie back to stopping at enough though?
Yeah. So something, I don't know. There's something there though. I haven't quite put my finger on it, but like there's something about, because not stopping at enough is somehow linked to,
golly. The over.
Yeah. It's so not stopping at enough, I think in my head, and these are all kind of like, you know, very like old shitty thoughts, like very habitual thoughts, but it's kind of something like, well, you giving the food its due or something, you know, is the most important thing. Like if the food is good and I consistently leave two bites behind at every meal, and I have a Facebook Messenger group, and we send each other pictures of our dirty plates every day. It's hysterical. How many pictures of dirty plates with bites of food we send each other.
Awesome.
So I do leave two bites of food virtually every meal, but I don't know. There's something about the eating past enough. It's somehow linked to like, you know, okay, food's not as important as it used to be, but it's still really important. And I don't know. I guess I feel like it's still kind of swimming below in my habit brain. I haven't even quite brought it up, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is why I got on here for coaching.
Like not overly important. Like it's not like it has like a normal level of importance. Like I enjoy it. It sustains me. Like my body needs food, but it's not like.
And I eat food that tastes good to me. And if it doesn't taste good to me, then I usually just don't, and I'm fine with throwing it away then, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like we had corn on the cob last night, which I'm not a big corn fan anyway, but it was like not that great. I'm like, I'm not eating another piece this weekend. You guys can eat it. Yeah. It can be thrown away. I don't care. I just don't want it. But I don't know. There's something like it, when I'm saying to myself.
I think it's about the place that food has in your life, maybe.
Yeah.
Or the level of importance.
And I just, when you were talking earlier and you're talking about, you know, learning from when we do things like not, I realized this summer, I have not been doing discovery worksheets. I, you know, on and off, like I've had months where I've done a discovery worksheet and, or a Success Forge week worksheet every single day. And then I have some months where I haven't. And just recently I feel like, oh, there's still like, you know, maybe once a day where I'm not stopping. Yeah.
Enough. And maybe that's one of those nine habits that we talked about earlier. Like maybe that's worth putting in those nine habits for a lot of us. Like I still want to regularly do discovery worksheets, because that's like a good way to like check any kind of sneaky overeating or not paying attention of things, is like doing the discovery worksheets or like a weekly assessment or something.
Yeah.
What happened with the 10 pounds, by the way?
So I'm coming back down and I have a lot of judgy thoughts about how slow it is. because I'm also kind of working on that. It's like, it's good. It, you know, you're doing the work. It's going to come down when it comes down. And my brain's like, bah, 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 bah,
bah, bah. Why should it be going faster?
Apparently my brain just thinks it's just wrong. Like it doesn't, there's no logical sense to it. As soon as I look at it, it's like, it's taking as long as it
takes. And what's slow? Like what?
Exactly. It's like, it's total bullshit.
Like on average, how much have you been losing a week? Let's say.
On average, maybe a third of a pound. I'd have to look at my Happy Scale app, but about a third of a pound for like, say, the past 4 months.
Mm. It's just like right on that. Like we kind of say like anywhere from like half a pound to like 2 pounds. It's kind of like in that normal range. It's like right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this just came to my mind is that a lot of us, you know, and I've never was a member of Weight Watchers. I never did a lot of diets, so I don't have quite the same type of diet trauma, but I still grew up in this culture. But like, I think a lot of us, we tend to think of weight loss as a project And now that I'm getting back down to my maintenance range, I'm thinking of it like a project that needs like one. I want to wrap this project up. Mm. Like I just want to wrap it up. Whereas, see, this is part of the maintenance mindset, which is so helpful to me. It's like, there's not really a project anymore. It's just life. You know what I mean? Which is why I'm so grateful for this course.
And again, we can like kind of stop paying attention because the project's done.
Right. Yeah. It's and like
no, this is just like, what I do.
Not done. Blah, blah, blah. But you know, so that this is why I need this course. And I'm really grateful for it, basically.
Yeah. So how are you going to address that thinking? I need to wrap up this project. This needs to go a little faster.
Right. I don't know yet. I've been working my way here through this maintenance course. I haven't really landed on like, except for like the kind of useful ladder thoughts, which are like, you know, I'm learning to think of this as a lifestyle, not a project.
Yeah. Or that's just how my brain keeps wanting to think about it.
Right.
But the fact is.
But that's kind of a lie. It's not really a project anymore.
Yeah. And it's doing like, the four ends that Corinne talks about, like noticing that thought, that is a normal thought to have after the years of diets that I did.
Yeah.
Right. Neutralizing. The fact is I'm losing 0.3 pounds per week on average. Next best thought. Maybe that's okay.
Yeah. This is just the rate my body wants to lose weight at.
Right now. Yeah. I'm actually in no rush.
I'm looking forward to the day where I'm thinking I'm in no rush or there's no, you know,
this is just what I do.
80% of the time instead of like maybe 34% of the time.
Yeah. And it's like maybe that 0.3 pounds is giving me plenty of time to like address some of those things.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, perhaps it's also useful to like remind myself, like what I learned over the winter with the, you know, with the regain and with the work and with the exercise change, because I live someplace where there's winter. I have to, you know, I want to change my exercise in response to the weather. Like I need to learn these lessons. These are good lessons to learn for like the rest of my life. And I love moving and my body gets cranky when it doesn't get to do something every day. And if, you know, there's 3 inches of ice on the sidewalk, I'm not going out for a walk. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, I can't walk. I feel like, you can't stride like a normal person. At least I can't, even with ice gripper things, I can't. So, I needed to learn these things in order to keep on going forward.
Yeah, this is good. This is like worth you listening back to and jotting some of this down. And this is really good. I'm glad you came on. Cool. I think everybody got a lot out of it too.
Okay. Well, I hope so. So I felt kind of messy in my head about it. Thank you.
Yeah. It was probably good for you to just like, again, get it all out, say it out loud, use some of these worksheets. Like, I feel like half of figuring this out is like just seeing, like identifying what it is. Like, let me just look at it. Let me get it on paper. Let me put it in Ask Coaches and see.
Right. And like getting like, and I love to journal too. I feel like I don't have quite enough time to do as much as I want to, but I love doing it. But also like, saying it out loud to someone who kind of knows where
you're an accountability partner. Yeah.
Yep. And I have some great ones. So, but awesome. It's really good. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, everyone. I'll look forward to reading the chat afterwards.
Yeah. And we'll see everyone back too with like module 3.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this call. I think a lot of us here, like we got so much out of this call, again, drawing on our collective wisdom. And I'll wrap up the call with like one of my favorite thoughts, because I really want everyone to answer the question that I said earlier, like 3 really juicy reasons why I want to keep paying attention to enough. Like my brain's going to have thoughts about like easing up on that, or like now it's fine, blah, blah, blah. Like We know that might happen, but what are like three, like imagine going into that with like three really juicy reasons of like why you want to keep stopping at enough. And for me, one of those reasons is like, I really like listening to my body. That's like my favorite thing about the four basics. Like I love being someone who like, I listen to my body when it's hungry. I listen to my body and I eat. When I'm thirsty, I listen to my body and I drink water. And when I'm at enough, I listen to my body and I stop at enough. It doesn't have to be this big dramatic ordeal anymore. It really was there for the first year or two when I started No BS, but like, it feels good to be someone who like, I can listen to my body, stop at enough, and I'm still enjoying food, but like, all right, I've had enough. Like my body has told me that's enough. Like to me, that just feels really, really good. So I just wanted to end on that. Like, I really like listening to my body, whether it's movement, food, water, sleep, that feels really, really good to me. Okay. I will see you guys, I'm sure, like module 3, come back for module 3, like do the worksheets. If you have any questions, bring them to Ask Coaches, bring them to the next call. Thank you so much for joining me on this call. I'll see you guys around. Bye.